الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. With regard to looking after our gazes and practicing to look after it during the month of Ramadan, this is such an important thing that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, An-nadru sahmum min sihami iblis masmum. That the gaze of the eye, the look of the eye, is another sahmum, is an arrow of the poisonous arrows of shaitan. An arrow is very dangerous, and if it is dipped in poison, how dangerous isn't it then? And this looking at strange woman, at other woman that we are not allowed to look at, this is a poisonous arrow. مَنْ تَرَكَهُ مَخَافَتِ. A person who gives it up in the fear of Allah Ta'ala, that Allah has made it haram, we should not look in that fear, he gives it up. أَبْدَلْتُهُ إِيمَانًا يَجِدُ حَلَاوَتَهُ فِي قَلْبِهِ. That I will change giving up of his in the fear of Allah, in place of that, in return of that, I will give him such iman, the sweetness of which he will find in his heart. And our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to explain that sweetness is usually felt in the mouth. And when the minute it leaves the mouth, the tongue, then the sweetness is gone. It is only the 3-4 centimeters that you enjoy your chocolate, your ice cream, your sweets, whatever. Then when it goes down from there, there is no sweetness, and most of the sweet things then cause you health problems then. Whether it is your diabetes going up, whether it is your weight going up, it causes you problems. But this sweetness, Allah Ta'ala does not send it through the mouth, but directly in the heart. And the sweetness of the tongue is only for that little while it's on the tongue. You can try and keep your chocolate as long as you want to on your tongue and enjoy its sweetness, but eventually it melts and it gets finished. Your ice cream will get finished. But the sweetness of this that you give up, because you gave up looking at a strange woman, that sweetness Allah Ta'ala puts directly in the tongue. And the sweetness on the tongue is enjoyable. Everyone understands it. A non-Muslim also, even an animal, enjoys the taste which Allah Ta'ala has given. But this sweetness which is in the heart, because to look at that woman is not really the work of the eyes. The eyes are only instruments. It's the heart that is getting the enjoyment. So that you have sacrificed that great enjoyment of the heart. So Allah in return gives the enjoyment in the heart. Allah doesn't give it on the tongue, or Allah doesn't give that enjoyment in the eye, but that enjoyment Allah gives it in the heart, because the heart, you didn't look, you feared Allah Ta'ala, Allah has made it haram, and that is why. And here also, that makhafati, in the fear of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, a person can give it up, because he's a sheikh, he's a peer, he's what is murid. What will the murid say that he's looking at the woman? Or the murid is what the peer will shout him, that what you looking at woman, in the fear of the sheikh, well, that is also good, but what in the fear of Allah, that Allah is not present, that woman is present. Yeah, is a cash business you can do, looking at that woman, enjoying at her, enjoying looking, whether it's on porn or whatever else, and Allah Ta'ala, you can't see, is in ghaib. But for Allah, that iman of yours, may Allah is watching me. Meri nazar par, unke nazar paas ba rahi. On my eyes, there was somebody else watching my eyes. Afsos, is khabar se, hum be khabar the. It's a pity we did not realize this. Like a person goes in a supermarket, and just out of instinct, he didn't need it, and it's not his, so he didn't want to, but just out of instinct, he took something and he put it in his pocket, he stole it. But he's caught on CCTV. As he's leaving the shop, they ask him, "Sir, gentlemen, we would like to have a word with you, if you will just accompany us to the office." And they tell you that the reason that you stole, everyone denies first. At first stage, everyone is in a denial mode. Then they show you the footage on the screen. Now you can't deny. You are there and you are seen, and they take it out of your pocket. So if a person knew Allah is watching me like this, that iman, that without Allah's physical CCTVs, Allah's cameras are on us all the time. Kiram and Katibin, the true malaika, they are noting down everything, and they're recording it more solidly and more in detail than what CCTV cameras can also do. Allah Ta'ala is recording everything, and this record is so solid that even if you dispute it on the day of Qiyamah, that the Kiram and Katibin, na'uzu billah, written wrong, Allah will produce other evidence also. That is, wherever you committed that sin, that piece of ground records everything also. And then after that, with whichever part of the body you did it, that part of the body also records it. But your eyes, what you saw, the whole film is recorded, your whole life's film. And it is recorded and it will be shown also. Then Kiram and Katibin also. And when the three of them, they, like in accounting, from the cash book you post to the ledger, from the ledger to the journal, and you draw up your trial balance, and then you see whether all your posting was correct. So all these are posted then into the Nama Yaman. And they are seen whether they correspond, all of them. That what the ground says, what the part of the body did, the eyes, and the place, and the Kiram and Katibin. When all that is written down, then your balance sheet is taken out finally. So all these things are under record. So on the day of Qiyamah, you will be shown, and that footage will be shown not only to you in your close cubicle or in a small office, but it will be shown in front of the whole world. From the time of Adam alayhi salam till Qiyamah's day, everyone will see what you were doing. Every part of the body will speak on that day. Al-yawma nakhtimu ala afwahihim wa tukallimuna aydihim wa tashhadu arjuluhum bima kanu yaksimun. A seal will be put on the mouth, you keep quiet. And every part of the body will say, "Now speak, what did you do?" And a person will say to Allah Ta'ala, will say to the parts of his body, "Lima shahidtum alayna? Why are you giving evidence against us? You have turned state witness. When we committed the sin, I did it for your pleasure. My tongue, you enjoyed kissing. My eyes, you enjoyed looking. The hands, you enjoyed touching. I did all this for your pleasure. And now today you have turned against me, you turned state witness." They say, "Antaqana Allahu alladhi antaqa kulla shay." Allah has commanded us to speak, and Allah is that being. He can make any and everything speak. When He wants to, He makes a newborn baby speak, and how many cases of that? When He wants to, pebbles will speak in the hands of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. When He wants to, animals will speak. So Allah has made any and all the parts of the body to speak, and they will give evidence. So this sweetness of this iman, when a person sacrifices the desire of the heart, and also don't fool ourselves that I'm a big buzurg, I'm a maulana, I'm a sheikh with hundreds and thousands and tens of thousands of murids, where I have desire to look. If you haven't got desire to look, you're a liar. Because Allah has put it in you. You have got that desire. Don't try and pretend that me, I can speak to my female muridness. It doesn't matter. Because me, I'm like a piece of wood. Or I'm a piece of stone. I don't have any feeling when I speak to my female muridness. It's safe. It's kosher. There's nothing kosher. If it is, then like if butter doesn't melt in front of a fire, then if your man doesn't melt in front of a woman, if that butter doesn't melt in front of fire, it's not butter, it's something else. And if a man doesn't melt in front of a woman, he's not a man. He's something else, whatever else he can be, but he's not a man. A man Allah has made it, he has got. You can be 90 years old also, 100 years old, but your desire will still be there. Eh? And if you want to ask some old people, sincerely, I tell them to speak. They can't do anything. They're more cold than deep freeze. But no movement will come in, no harakat in any part of the body also. But the desire to look will still be there. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, they were in a bus in India, and they were sitting on the back seats, right in front, on the front seat, a Hindu man was sitting there, 90 years old. Then a young girl came and she sat on the other seat. He started gaping at her, not only with his eyes open, with his mouth open also. And it's one way he's gaping at her. The conductor came and he told him, Kaka, uncle, ticket, buy your ticket. Uncle is in a different world. Uncle don't know what is happening. He's shaking, uncle. Buy your ticket. Uncle don't know what is happening. So this is such a thing, you bring disgrace also on yourself. But that desire is there. Don't bluff yourself. And if that desire wasn't there, Allah should not have given the commands of hijab. And Allah should not give the command of kullil mu'mineen. And Allah should have said, kullil mu'mineen illa, all the old people, they are excluded. They don't have to lower their gazes. Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayhi was such a great alim, and the narrator of this instance is Mufti Razaul Haq, the Mufti of Darul Ulum Zakaria. He told us himself that Maulana Allama Yusuf bin Nuri rahmatullah alayhi had heard of an old man who was living in Syria, very very old. So he had a desire, he was very close with the Arab world, and he used to travel often to the Arab world also. So when he went to that place, he would look for that man, the address, in a jungle somewhere. Finally, he traced him, found him, sitting right at the foot of the mountain. And sitting on a bench, and another man sitting next to him, and a small two-year-old child playing there when he met them. So he introduced himself and he told him, I heard about you. He said, yes, I'm that man. His age, 140 years old, that old man. And he asked, who is this next to you? And Arab have got a habit, which is sunnah also, to reintroduce, make ta'aruf. So he introduced him, this is my son. How old is he? 120 years. And the father is 140 and the son, 120. And this little child playing here, that is my child. Not grandchild, not great-grandchild, my child. At the age of 140. So Maulana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi asked him, Allah has blessed you with what good health? 140 years old and you're still sitting and you're still physically fit and mobile. Any other desire you have in your life? He said, one desire I got. This river flowing year must change into tea. And not our tea, which is poison, but green tea. And then there must be a hose pipe from there into my mouth. And I must be drinking it all the time. So anyway, this instance, Haji Farooq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali also should narrate. And he should narrate it on this basis that a 140-year-old man don't trust him also. He's also got desire. He's got a two-year-old child. At the age of 138, he got a child. So don't think that 140 that they are colder. When we had one Haji Sahib here in Azadville, he passed away, Allah grant him Jannah. He when his wife passed away, he was 80 years old. And then he went and proposed himself. People weren't taking his proposals. And he told the people that at that age, when my wife passed away, ghusl was wajib on her that morning. So you can imagine 80-year-old man. And ghusl was wajib on the wife when she had passed away. So even you can be an old man, don't bluff yourself, you are colder than a deep freeze, anything can happen. And this year, just like one person, Maulana Room Rahmatullah Ali has written this instance, that he went, a jester, a person who makes jokes and makes people laugh and entertains and amuses people. He went in the jungle, it was winter, snow in those places, and there was a snake. And in the snow and winter, the snake is like dead. The big python. So he picked it up and he said, I should go and entertain and show the people, see, I killed the snake there, all with my bare hands. I killed this big snake. And he brought it to the town. But as he was bringing it, the weather conditions also changed. Heat started coming. And as heat comes, the snake also starts moving. And he was the first one to run away from the snake. So just like that, when you are cold, you think you are cold, but some heat things come around. Then the heat starts and movement will start and you will find that the snake, that the movements will start in it. And if you are not, careful, you will fall into great, great fitna. So never ever think that I am safe. All your taqwa and your piety. One buzurg was genuine a buzurg, no doubt. And the king of the time, he had to go for jihad. So he took his two sons with and he had his daughter. Now where must I leave my daughter? Jihad, he had to go. It was necessary. He had to go for warfare, for fighting. So he said this buzurg, and he knew him. Genuine, really upright, honest person. Really right person. He said, I leave my daughter here, I won't have any fear. Buzurg was genuinely such. He did not keep her with him in his own house. At another little distance, he had a chalet, a hut, or house, whatever, he put her there, and he had the food sent to her. But over the time, some days pass, weeks pass, Shaitan put in his mind, she's a young girl, and maybe her food, is it right, is it according to her taste, you should go personally just to go and find out whether the food is right, what is happening or what. So he went, he found out, she said, no, everything is right. And then slowly, Shaitan works on every person. And this was a genuine buzurg. Shaitan doesn't leave anyone. Shaitan says, if I get Junaid Baghdadi and Rabia Basariya in one room, I will make them also commit guna. So don't ever trust yourself and depend. The laws of Sharia, Allah didn't make them just for, because Allah, there was nothing else to do. They are there for our safety. So like that, slowly, slowly, then he started taking the food. Slowly, slowly, contact built. Eventually, a child was born of this. Now is the time for the king to come back. Now what am I going to do? So he said the only thing he agreed with her, that we kill this child. And we buried and that's the end of the story. They did that, both of them agreed. And then, the shaitan then now started working on him in a different way. This woman, she will speak someday. So he decided to kill her also. Killed her also, and he buried her. And then when they came back, they asked, where is our daughter? He said, she passed away, something happened, and she got sick, and she passed away, we buried her. So they accepted it, but then see where how Shaitan works. He put a dream for the two sons, and he gave them dreams. Shaitan gave them genuine dreams, that your daughter has been killed by this buzurg, and she's buried in a certain place. They went and dig up, they found her, and they found that she was murdered. And then the king, what happened to the buzurg? So just imagine, you can be how genuine also laws of Sharia apply to everyone. A person might think, well, my female muridnis will also be happy if I talk to them. And give them also one session, and with all parda and everything, and my wife will, some buzurgs, the wife says, my husband, buzurg Hazrat, is an old man now. And they make bayat to women in front of one another, one on one. How can this ever be permitted? These things are not permitted at all. And your izzat is in danger, your deen is in danger, your dunya, your akhirat is in danger. So never ever trust yourself whatsoever. So anyway, in this hadith, Nabiyyu Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, An-nazru sahmum min sihami iblis masmum. The eyes, the looking of the eyes, looking at females, other females, it is a poisonous arrow of Shaitan, and man tarakahu, a person who gives it up, abdaltuhu, I change, give in return to that person, such iman, yajidu halawatahu fi qalbihi, the sweetness of which he will find in his heart. And that iman, Mulla Ali Qari rahmatullah Ali says, inna halawat al iman, the sweetness of iman, idha dakhala qalban, if it enters the heart, lam yakhruj minhu abada, it never ever goes out of that heart. The sweetness of the tongue is for that 1 minute, half a minute, quarter of a minute, a few seconds is the sweetness of the tongue. And then it's finished. And then it causes you harm. But this sweetness of the heart, it remains forever. It goes directly into the heart and it remains forever. It doesn't get finished. And وَفِيهِ بَشَارَةٌ إِلَىٰ حُسْنِ الْخَاتَمَةِ. And in here there is good glad tidings towards حُسْنِ الْخَاتَمَةِ. That when you got this iman in your heart and it's not gone out, it means definitely your maut is going to come on iman. On this our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, which many people also, when they are not connected with mashayikh, or just the weak connection they have, and they haven't really understood still, mashallah, our Haji Siddiq Sahib said, you must explain that also, that how, when the eyes of the looking of the eyes, how you can change it to the looking of the heart. How to do it and what is it that the eyes of the heart must open. So anyway, what did I say just now? No. Yeah, after that. Hazrat, what? You will get the sweetness of iman, and it doesn't leave the heart. So this is, Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad. Inshallah, it will come, inshallah. So anyway, so when you are guaranteed husn-e khatima, when you see with the eyes of the heart, you are guaranteed husn-e khatima. So, looking with the, opening the eyes of the heart, we'll just go on that subject. That other subject will come back if Allah wishes. And if it doesn't come, no problem also. Our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali said that before I should be worried that sometimes I wanted to say something or the talk went in a different direction. But now, Hazrat at a later age of his life, he said that what Allah has meant, that will be said. What is good and what was necessary. Because as I said, I make my niyat before I sit down to talk. Ya Allah, let me only speak that which is necessary, which is beneficial. So what was not, Allah just diverts to the talk also. And what is necessary according to the time, according to the listeners are the most important. According to them, what is important and necessary, and they are sincere, they want to listen also. Allah, the speaker, is just the front. It is from Allah's side. Then Allah Ta'ala sends such subjects and such matter which is beneficial for everyone. So, what was this on? So the opening of the eyes of the heart. This is a thing which is possible and it happens. And what is it? It is in the Hadith Ihsan. أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. You should worship Allah Ta'ala as though you see Allah Ta'ala. Whereas a fact is, nobody in this world can see Allah Ta'ala. لَن تَرَانِي. Allah has said in absolute solid words and with ta'keed, لَن تَرَانِي. In this world, nobody can see me in a wakeful condition. But what أن تعبد الله كأنك تراه. You can't see Allah Ta'ala. فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ. If you can't see Him, فَإِن لَمْ تَكُنْ تَرَاهُ. فَإِنْ لَهُ يَرَاكْ. Then Allah is watching. You have reached that stage that Allah is watching me. Now what is the stage that you see Allah Ta'ala? The possible stage. The impossible state is out of the question. Allah, the Zaat of Allah, our eyes are, it's impossible. Allah, لَيْسَ كَمِثْلِهِ شَيْءٍ. There is nothing like Allah Ta'ala. هُوَ مَعَكُمْ أَيْنَ مَا كُنْتُمْ. He is with you wherever you are. Allah is everywhere, all the time. And we cannot, it's impossible. Our eyes are not made of that material to see. In Jannat, Allah will make the eyes that you can see Allah Ta'ala. But here you cannot see Allah. What you see, when you see Allah Ta'ala, you see the signs of Allah Ta'ala. Eh? If your curtain is moving, then you can't see the wind. But you see what you know. The curtain is moving, that's a sign that there is wind there. Eh? If you are walking, if you are sitting, you're sleeping, anything else, and you're finding you're having difficulty to breathe, you can't see oxygen, but you know now you are short of oxygen. You haven't got oxygen. So the signs of Allah, which are manifest, which are too open, which you yourself, insan, you are the greatest witness and you are the greatest product of the signs of Allah Ta'ala. And in you, one of the greatest signs of seeing Allah are your eyes. Who made your eyes? And just take the trouble of studying a little bit of optometry, not all the details and all the difficult words and all that, but how the eye functions and who makes it. And a poorest child who's born in the Congo Basin, who's born in the Amazon forest, he's also got perfect eyes. Not only people of the first world countries or developed countries, that they can appreciate. Now everyone, a little ant also has got its eyes. A little a snake also has got eyes. Allah has given. And the elephant, what a big animal, but so small eyes. It's the qudrat of Allah. So all this is you see Allah Ta'ala. So this year that the eyes of the heart open, you start seeing Allah Ta'ala. And then you reach that stage that whatever you look at, you see Allah Ta'ala. You look at any good also, you see Allah. You see a good person, you see Allah. Whoever you see, everywhere you see behind is the hand of Allah. And now with the eyes of the heart, you can see. So this is that conviction. And a person reaches the stage with tilawat of Quran Sharif, with zikrullah, with sohbat of saliheen. And then a person reaches the stage where he can see in everything. You are moving with your car freely, nicely, just traveling nicely. It's also, you'll see Allah. At that time, usually we don't see Allah. But when we get stuck, then we see Allah. But fortunate is that person that when you are cruising well, at 120, 140, smooth, you are going, you are having a nice talk with your wife, or you are hearing a CD or something, at that time also you see Allah. And usually, if you have a narrow escape, those people who have been conditioned, and they have understood, they see Allah Ta'ala. That I didn't save that, didn't get saved from that accident, because I turned the steering suddenly. But Allah, your fazal, you saved me. Not that I pressed the brake in time and I pressed enough pressure I put and just a millimeter away from the next car, I just stopped. No, it wasn't you, it was Allah Ta'ala. And when a person realizes this, that when you are cruising nicely, going smoothly, traveling at 120, 140, you are traveling, every moment that person whose eyes have been opened of the high heart, he sees Allah, that now also what happened 5 minutes later could have happened 5 minutes earlier. What happened 5 minutes earlier could happen 5 minutes. Every moment these things can happen. At this moment as we are sitting, one beautiful Arabic proverb, I'm looking for it very much, I can't find it, that if you hear somebody is still living, you must be surprised. If you hear somebody is dead, that should have been normal. But today with us, if we hear somebody passed away now, and just now we were talking, we were having tea together, or we were just sitting and talking, and he has passed, but just now I was sitting with him. In other words, it's impossible. How could he die? But every moment, there are millions of sources of our death, which are surrounding us all the time. As we are sitting here, a person can get brain hemorrhage. A person, his spinal cord, something can go wrong. A person can get a heart attack. Anything can happen, any moment. As we are sitting here, today is in a world where the crime rate is so high. And what they attribute to terrorists, all that is all their propaganda and that. But a person can come here and just start shooting. And kill 10, 20 people. Daily we're reading this in, we're getting news of this. That can happen. You are traveling in an aeroplane, it can just fall from the air. All this is happening all the time. There is no guarantee of life for 1 second. What is guaranteed is mort. And mort what is guaranteed, our yaqeen is not on there. And what is not guaranteed, our life is not guaranteed. That we have guarantee on. And we are making big, big plans. Huge, huge plans we are making, and there is no guarantee. And for mort, which is guaranteed, no plans for mort. No preparation for mort, for life after death. So to open the eyes of the heart, that will be this conviction. And then that is in that place there. This conviction must come, which we had mentioned previously also. When this iman is developed, and this conviction of the heart is made, then as we see fire burns, And iman must be this, that fire also burns, and the fire itself hasn't got the power to burn. The power to burn is a separate command of Allah Ta'ala. Otherwise, the fire Ibrahim alayhi salam was thrown in, it did not burn him. Allah, the fire was all around him. But where he was, Allah changed it into a garden. So that is, the everything, medicine and the effect of medicine, that is also in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. And the effect of side effects of medicine, that is also in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. Everything is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. A whole ward in a hospital, there are 10 beds, all diabetics in that ward. The doctor comes and he checks everyone every day. 10 o'clock is time for doctor to make his rounds. He visits everyone. They are all the same condition, so they put them in the same ward. For the one, he increases his dosage of medicine. For the other one, he decreases. For the other one, he leaves it the same. For the other one, he discharges him. You are well now. You don't need anything. Everyone, that medicine, they all took the same medicine. But everyone, the effect on everyone was different. It's all in the hands of Allah. It's not how your body reacted to it. It is in the hands of Allah Ta'ala. So that conviction comes. So this iman has to be developed to this level, which comes in that beautiful form of Mawlana Asadullah. Na dekho in surkh rukhoku zin nahar. Don't look at these ladies with the red lips, with lipstick, and the blush on their cheeks, red cheeks, etc. All this redness and the temptation, never ever look at that. That is for the haram woman. Parho Rabbana qina azab an-nar, but read, O Allah, save us from the fire of Jahannam. From a literature point of view, this poem is so beautiful that he has compared the red cheeks with the red fire of Jahannam. So this is when this iman is built, then you no more see it as red cheeks, you see it as the fire of Jahannam. And you say immediately, bhago yahan se, run from here, here is fire here. Everyone else around you says, oh, beautiful, pretty woman. Let's just see how they are dressed and how scantily they are dressed. See how beautiful they are. And when I said this, some brothers were about to doze, they woke up. Beautiful woman. Where is this beautiful woman? I mustn't miss out on this. And so we all feel that I mustn't miss out on that. But those whose eyes of the heart have opened, they see this is not beautiful woman. This is the fire of Jahannam. And oh Allah, save me from the fire of Jahannam. And to understand that more clearly, in the Quran Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَأْكُلُونَ أَمْوَالَ الْيَتَامَ ظُلْمًا. Those who devour the inheritance of the orphans in a wrongful way. That is, they don't let the orphans get their share. They eat it up. They will make trustees of that estate. And they ate it up. Nobody eats money. This doesn't mean the literal meaning that you eat the money. Nobody. But what you do with money. That is, your biryani which you are cooking now. And your roast which you are having, your chicken and your lamb that you are having with that haram money, the house that you built with that haram money and you are living in it, all that is innama ya'kuluna fi butunihim nara. That person of iman can see that you are actually eating not roast and chicken and samosas and lamb, etc. You are eating the fire of Jahannam you are putting in your stomach. So this is when that iman, when it's developed to that level, then you can make out and you can see clearly. When you see your wife, when that level of iman has been made, when you see your wife, you will see as a whore of Jannah. She is the one that has been made halal for you on the name of Allah. She is the one that has made halal for you in the masjid in most cases. She was the one made halal for you who you chose as a pious person to perform your nikah. And at his hand she became halal. She was made halal for you in about 50, 100, 200 people's presence, Muslims' presence, with du'as, with ayats of the Quran, with the khutbah. If she is not a whore, that means something wrong is in your eyes. You know, for problem is with your eyes. One person went to doctor and told doctor, I ate 10 raw rotis, unbaked bread. Rotis, I ate 10. So I got terrible stomach pain. My stomach is paining, raw roti, raw flour you ate. So doctor took eye ointment and put in his eyes. So he said, doctor, nothing wrong with my eyes. My stomach is paining. He says, your eyes need treatment. You couldn't see 10 raw rotis, not one, not half. 10, your eyes, something wrong with your eyes. I have to treat your eyes first before I treat your stomach. So when our eyes are wrong, then everything goes wrong. So when the eyes of the head, that non-Muslims also got, and they also see what we see. What's the difference between a mu'min seeing and a Muslim seeing? What is the difference between a Muslim seeing and a kafir seeing? There is the great difference. And what is the difference between a human being and a animal seeing? They all see, but a mu'min would see is binurillah, with the nur of Allah Ta'ala. And when you make this your dhikrullah, you make your tilawat, that nur of Allah Ta'ala comes into the heart. Which Allah Ta'ala says, أَفَمَنْ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ صَدْرَهُ لِلْإِسْلَامِ. That person whose heart we have opened up for Islam. That means the nur of Allah has entered into that heart. Now this person sees, يَنْزُرُ بِنُورِ اللَّهِ. He looks with the hands, with the nur of Allah. يَبْتَشُ بِنُورِ اللَّهِ. He holds with the nur of Allah Ta'ala. Everything is with this nur of Allah Ta'ala. That is now the eyes of the heart have been opened. And the nur of Allah also has come. Just like with our physical eyes, in order to see, there are two lights which are necessary. The light of your eye must be also, your eye must be in order. And if it's completely dark, you got perfect eyes, no problem with your eyes, but you can't see. You need the outside light also. So the eyes of the heart also have to be open, and the nur of Allah also have to be there. Then the eyes of the heart start seeing. That person sees clearly, he doesn't enjoy looking at a woman. He sees a nadiru wal manzur, la'an Allahu al nadir wal manzur. Allah's la'anat on the one who looks and the one that is looked at. He sees, it's not that woman with that, with her scanty dressing, with her bikinis and her minis, her bust so big, etc. He sees the fire of Jahannam is wrapped on that woman. And the person who sees the fire of Jahannam doesn't go near the fire, he runs from the fire. Fafirru ila Allah, and you run towards Allah Ta'ala. So this is that nur of the heart, and the eyes of the heart that have to be opened. Then a person sees this. So may Allah Ta'ala bless us with this. So this nur, when a person does not look, and the heart made the effort, Allah puts that sweetness of iman into the heart. And the sweetness of iman will remain. And when this sweetness of this iman comes in the heart, there is sweetness of iman in the heart. There is the nur of Allah in the heart. The eyes of the heart have to be opened. That mu'min is a mu'min. That is a mu'min. Who the Quran calls rijal, man. Not man of steel, which is the English idiom and proverb. No, not man of steel, man of iman. And these are those people, لا تلهيهم تجارته ولا بيع عن ذكر الله. Tijarat, business, and they buying and selling, don't make them unmindful of Allah. At that time also they listening to the adhan. Hey, one Yahya, most probably his name was Haddad, was a blacksmith. When he would pick up his hammer, heavy hammer, to hit onto the steel and shape the things as he wants to make it, when just Allah starts, Allahu Akbar, Allah, he listens, he doesn't take work from that hammer. Drops it, puts it one side, Allah has called me now. Aware of Allah Ta'ala. In the business, when he's making business, no matter what deal comes in front of him, there is a doubt of haram, he cancels. No deal, no nothing. Whatever business he's doing, and a woman comes, he doesn't speak to woman. This is that consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. لا تلهيهم تجارتو ولا بيعن ذكر الله ويقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة. They namaz on the times they make it. No matter what customer came, Allahu Akbar. One person who was doing genuine case, and time for Zohar namaz, and a good customer came, and he told him, I'm sorry, I have to go for namaz. There are 10 shops like my shops around me, you can go to any shop. He went with itminan, he made his namaz. When he came back, that person went to all the 10 shops. He was not satisfied with the deal or with the goods, etc. And he bought from him. What your rosy is written, it has to come. And what's not written, cannot come. So this person here, he is all the time conscious, لا تلهيهم تجارته ولا بيعن ذكر الله ويقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة. And what is this? When the eyes of the heart have been opened, and the noor of Allah and the sweetness of that person is in a different light. يَخَافُونَ يَوْمًا تَتَقَلَّبُ فِيهِ الْقُلُوبُ وَالْأَبْصَارِ. All the time, يَخَافُونَ فِعَلْ مُدَارِ. Continuously he has got this fear in him that the day when eyeballs will turn around. When a person, when sometime year back, about 13, 14 years, I had my heart problem. I was in the hospital and my sons were standing next to me. I don't know anything. Afterwards, my son told me that when the doctor had they had sedated me, after that, when I woke up, he saw my eyeballs turn around. And he thought it's the end now, the last. So the eyeballs turn around like this. On Qiyamah's day, and this was only that I'm still sitting in front of you. I'm not a mummy or anything. I'm still living. This is only the du'as of the friends. Allah's fizzle. And du'as, I saw the miracle of du'as working. When I went at that time, I might as well as mention this. As I was leaving the house, they were taking me to the clinic. Then I don't remember anything. But Appa tells me, you told me I must phone Hazrat in Karachi and tell him to make du'a. Immediately she phoned to the house ladies and told Hazrat. Hazrat immediately, just we saw Hazrat's habit. Somebody asked for du'a, his hands would go up. And immediately he would make dua. Not like we say, make dua, inshallah, we'll make. And you never make dua. It's just a formality and customary thing. You must make dua, you also make dua. Don't, please don't forget. Yes, you also don't forget. But nobody makes dua. No, Hazrat's hand should go up immediately. And yeah, the doctor, when he just came round, when I woke up after they had sedated me, the doctor was standing there. So he told me, you had two strokes. I felt my hands, legs, I saw they moving, everything is normal. Then he looked at me and he told me, the strokes are reversed. First time in my life I heard a stroke gets reversed. It's the dua that reverses a stroke also. What medicines can't do, medicine with their byproducts, they will kill you also. But kill you before your time also. Though nobody can die before his time. But this is the power of dua. So anyway, so this is when the eyes of the heart are open. The noor of Allah has come into the heart. And also the sweetness of Iman. Also, our tasawwuf, alhamdulillah, thumma alhamdulillah, and for which we can give our lives, is that without all the trimmings and frills of even tasawwuf. A clear cut, straightforward tasawwuf. Our Shaykh rahmatullahi alayhi was so particular. Somebody should say, Hazrat, tawajjuh karna, make tawajjuh, cast your gazes. And Hazrat say, I don't know what is that. That in my tasawwuf there isn't anything like tawajjuh. Yes, dua I will make for you. Dua in my tasawwuf there is dua. And Hazrat used to say that our tasawwuf is 100% according to Quran and Hadith. In fact, in the Khanqah there was a board, tasawwuf ala min hajir rasul. Tasawwuf according to the system of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise there are more than enough Khanqahs where all al-lataif sitta are spoken about. The six lights in the body, all the lights, and the limbs of the body become awake and all that, and all the things, all that other kind of things, that is not our tasawwuf, is 100% Quran and Hadith straightforward. No all fancy trimmings and frills and all of the other things, and which put a mysticism, that you become a mystic, and you go in a different realm. Some people like all those things. And also zikr, man, woman are making together zikr, loud, loud zikr, and with drums also they are playing, and you are doing all that. This is where the people go astray, and bid'at starts, and then shirkiyat starts, and then everything in the name of tasawwuf. All the worst harams then take place, but in the name of tasawwuf. Then in that type of tasawwuf, people are taking drugs also, and they are going on a high in that also, and that is all tasawwuf. Now, alhamdulillah, we cannot make enough shukr to Allah Ta'ala. He has given us such mashayikh, the ulama of Jioban, such mashayikh and ahle haq that have guided us. In fact, I at one time requested Hazrat to build a khanqah separate from the Darul Uloom, my own khanqah. Hazrat said, never ever do that. Keep your khanqah under the shadow of the Darul Uloom, under the knowledge of Quran and Hadith. Otherwise, if it is separate, and it is not controlled by Quran and Hadith, by ulama, by the muftis and the buzurg, and the ulama, if it's not controlled by that, today you are there, tomorrow somebody else is there. And then all bid'at starts. And most, many khankas, great, great khankas, have been turned into the centers of bid'at and shirkiyat. because the control of Quran and Hadith did not remain on him. So that is absolutely essential. So our tasawwuf of the heart becoming alive is not all other type of things, all the places of the heart and the different lights that you see and the lataif and all that, all those things, Hazrat, cut it all out. He was never ever interested in those things. Straightforward Quran and Hadith. That, and Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, Hazrat quoted and said that Maulana Thanvi said there isn't a single ayat of the Quran Sharif, a single Hadith in which there isn't tasawwuf. But the problem is we haven't understood tasawwuf. Tasawwuf, Maulana Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi used to say, is just so much that jo ma'lumat hai, usko ma'amulat banao. What you know, ma'lumat, ilm, what you got knowledge, make amal on it. That is what is tasawwuf. So every ayat, you have to make amal on it. Every hadith you have to make. And that is what is tasawwuf. To transform ma'lumat, things which you have knowledge about, into ma'mulat, into practice. That is what is tasawwuf. Tasawwuf is nothing else. But what we think tasawwuf, Hazrat said, people don't understand. We think tasawwuf to be that you can fly in the air. Today, everyone, if we have to hear that there is a buzurg who flies in the air, all of us, myself included, will become very impressed. He flies in the air. But our buzurgs explain, a fly also flies in the air. So if that is buzurgi and piety that you fly in the air, then go to Mr. or Mrs. Fly and say, please make me bayat. What a great buzurg, you fly in the air. We hum to zameen pe dhare hue hai. We just stuck onto the ground, you fly in the air. That is no buzurgi flying in the air. Mosquito also, Mrs. Mosquito, and there is no Mrs. Mosquito. All mosquitoes are Mr. Mosquito. But Allah's kudrat that they have, it breeds. But mosquitoes are only males. And a mosquito also flies in the air. But a mosquito also is not a buzurg. And if walking on the water is big buzurg, if we, a certain person, walks on the water, then we will want to become bad to that. What a great buzurg. A fish swims in the water. And how it swims, with what style it goes. And no woman can walk in that style. How a fish makes its style and she walks. And it swims away in the water. Nobody can do that. So become bad to a fish then. This is not no buzurgi. So buzurgi is that pure Quran and Hadith. The proper Quran and Hadith. And also not some interpretation of some errant interpretation. What is the mainstream interpretation? That interpretation, the correct. From the buzurgs what we got, and from that what interpretation we got, that is the correct interpretation. So anyway, so the looking of the eyes will open up all this year, by which nur will come into the heart. Sweetness of iman will come. The eyes of the heart will open. And a person who's got this basirat, you got basarat, with your eyes you can see. And Allah gave you basirat, you see with the eye. That person in any matter, wherever he talks also, he talks with that basirat. Not only superficial knowledge, but he speaks from the things, وَالرَّاسِخُونَ فِي الْعِلْمِ. He becomes among those people who have drunk deep of the ocean of water, of knowledge. Not only on top surface they have drunk, but deep down. And these are those people who don't know juziyats, that this detail and that detail, and who don't know arguments for this masala, this argument and that. These people who are rasikhun fil ilm, yaqulun amanna bih. Bas, finish, we bring iman on it. End of the story. We have got iman, we don't. The dalail and the details and the juziyat, they might not know. But those who are rasikh fil ilm, that the conviction, ilm is to have conviction. Ilm is not to look for loopholes. Ilm is not to look for easy way out. Ilm is to have conviction on your nafil ibadat also, your mustahab ibadat also. But today ilm is used, it's nafil, it's not so important. It's sunnat not important. No, that is not what is ilm. Ilm is that sunnat, I can't let go. Miswak sunnat. Sunnat when I enter my toilet, left leg, dua, would be when I leave the toilet. That is that ilm, that conviction, and that solidness in that ilm is that you make amal upon it. Not that you are looking for loopholes, etc., and looking for an easy way out. So there is a great, great na'mat of Allah It's how Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali used to say, is a ni'mat of Allah that he made to look at other women haram. It's a ni'mat of Allah. See what you get on this ni'mat here. So definitely it's a ni'mat. With this iman, you see life beyond death also. That condition of the qabr, not only now you read about it and you have knowledge of it, but your conviction. And those same people, rasikhun fil ilm, yaquluna amanna bih, they have got that conviction. So they realize you making this guna, looking at this woman is fire in the qabr. Looking at this woman is snakes in the qabr. I can't tolerate that. I can't take one mosquito. They spoils my whole night's sleep. One fly spoils my whole day's rest. How am I going to stay with snakes and scorpions in the qabr? Which emergency service or which fumigation company I'm going to call? Please come and fumigate my qabr. There are too many snakes here and too many scorpions. You can't contact anyone and nobody can do anything there. There it's a different realm of its own, and we are physically going to live there. Not a dream world. It's a physical world which you'll have to go through. So those people, so just by guarding your gazes, Allah will give you that conviction of that. You will see all this thing, you will have that conviction. And you, and so this eyes opening of the heart is that conviction. That you have that 100%. As we understand, we got conviction that you just hear the word snake and you get frightened already. You are the snake is not present, but already put jitters in you. That a fire, that the house is on fire, you get jitters, and you know what the consequences are of a fire. Like that of guna, this conviction comes in you. So may Allah Ta'ala bless us with that. Another thing that is very important, with the looking of the eyes, also another guna, which is a big, very, very important dimension, and even perhaps more bigger than this what we have spoken about. That don't lift your eyes and look at other women who are, you are not supposed to look at. And neither drop your eyes and look down upon people. That also is totally haram. And this pride and holier than thou attitude, and that I'm ana wala ghairi, me, I'm everyone, and there's nobody else like me. And my excellence that I've got, and my kamalat I've got, and how I make bayan, and how I know my Quran, and how I may, everything of mine, all these things here, this pride, ujab, this vanity, and looking down upon people, this is also connected with the eyes. And this also, we have to understand, like I'm sitting on top, and mashallah, some brothers also sitting on top, on the chair, but out of necessity. This is not, and when you're sitting on top, you are looking down. So literally, you are looking down. But if you are looking down, figuratively, that they are lower. See, I'm sitting on top. These people are sitting down. Then literally you are down. You remember also that we're on the water, then you find a bubble on the water. The bubble is on top, but the bubble is empty. It's nothing. In the water, everything is in the water. So just being on top is nothing. You don't think that you are great. The Surah Tabbat Yada is on top of the surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad. But doesn't mean it's got virtue over Qul Huwallahu Ahad. Till Qiyamah, Surah Tabbat Yada in the Quran Sharif will be on top of Qul Huwallah. But Qul Huwallahu Ahad, what magnificence is in the surah Qul Huwallahu Ahad. So don't look down upon anyone. There's holier than thou attitude. And this is what is called pride. And this pride is also one aota of it is also. As far as your eyes, your first look Allah has been made permissible. After that, the second look has been made haram. But pride, one aota, one atom, one little bit of it is totally haram also. And so haram that a person with a little bit of pride will never enter Jannah. And he will be at a distance of a 500 years journey from Jannah. For example, mashallah, Abdul Rahim and they have come from Australia, 13-hour flight, over 13 hours. 13 hours, way down under Australia, far away. But 13 hours, 500 years journey. How many? Not 1 year's journey, 500 years. We can't envisage, we can't Think about a journey here of perhaps 2 days, 3 days. Some of our students, perhaps they go to America, they go through via Dubai, here, there, and in transit 6 hours. It takes them 2 days to get to their place. It's 2 days, 500 years journey. Can we imagine? A person who got one aorta, he won't reach. If you reach an airport and they say, no, we don't, doesn't look, this visa is genuine, or we got a problem here, and they keep you back or whatever, how long they going to keep you? Next flight they'll put you on. Or after 2 flights they'll put you and go back to your country again. Or some countries they need your yellow card, vaccination card, you haven't got it, quarantine 7 days. Or they send you back again to your country, you go back again. But 500 years, who's even, not the officer is going to live 500 years, neither is the poor chap going to be living for 500. But there, with one iota of pride, you won't come to a distance of 500 years journey. You won't get the fragrance of Jannat, which will go up to a distance of 500 years journey. The fragrance will go, the enjoyable fragrance, which is Jannat itself, that fragrance. But you won't even get that. Unless Allah makes you maaf, or the other, you had Iman, you died with Iman, you are eligible for Jannat, but your pride is not allowing you to enter. Then you'll have to go to Jahannam. And until you don't burn out that pride in Jahannam, well, when you have burned it out, then, so burn it out now. Don't wait to go to this whole wrong route, this terrible, horrible route. Why you want to go that route? Burn out your pride. But pride is a thing which very, very few people have burnt it out. It is there all the time. And the worst pride, which even Maulana Thani Rahmatullah Alayhi has written, is that pride which hides behind humility. You act as a humble person, but that is also pride of yours. That you even will pick up dirt from the road, and you'll say yourself, when you'll even go and clean the water gully of the wuzukhana, or the toilet you'll go and clean, so people must speak. Just see how humble he is. And you are not doing it out of sincerity. First of all, to go and do such mean jobs is beyond a person. He doesn't want to do it. And then there's the worst part is, if that person is doing it sincerely, mashallah, then it's a very high thing for the pleasure of Allah. But otherwise, a person, he does this, and he does it in order that people will speak. He's such a humble person, such a down-to-earth person. So that pride, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali explained, was a hakim. Oh, it's terrible. Inshallah, we'll carry on tomorrow, inshallah. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika.